Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 18, which says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And we've been looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, talking about this issue of what it is that they were wanted to do related to their understanding of the doctrine and instruction to have been given unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ in this dispensation. We see how it starts talking about this issue that they would have come unto you. So the goal that they had was to go unto these saints at Thessalonica to minister to them and have that fellowship that they're supposed to have with the saints. And you see how in Paul's epistles that we see him over and over talk about this type of a purpose of him wanting to go to spend time with the saints. In fact, if we go over to the book of Romans, we'll turn to Romans chapter number 1 to see how Paul's going to start his ministry writing unto this assembly at Rome. And we're going to read here at, you know, in chapter 1, we're going to read verse number 13. And it says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So we see how Paul is talking here about this purpose that he had to come unto these saints in Rome. These individuals that as you read through this epistle, becomes very clear that as he was writing this, he never had any sort of interaction with them. They had put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone, which gives salvation today, they were members of the body of Christ, yet he had never seen them. That's why you see this issue of him wanting to go unto them to, as it talks about, having some fruit among them. You see later on in this same epistle where the Apostle Paul actually talks about how he purposed to come unto them. As long as we're here in the book of Romans, we're going to turn over to chapter number 15 to see the Apostle Paul actually speak about this purpose that he had to come unto them. And you can see how he talks about what happened as a result of this. So here in Romans chapter number 15, we're going to read here verses 22 and 23 of the chapter. It says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." We'll read verse 24 as well, where it says, "Wheresoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." So you see how Paul, as he's even closing out the writing of this epistle, is making it clear that he has this desire to come unto them, to minister unto them, to have this fellowship, and is making it think of that this is what's going to happen. And he records it as scripture of that he has this purpose. And when we look at the idea of that fellowship and time to be with the saints, this is the desire that we should have as well. That we should want to be around the members of the body of Christ to minister to their needs and for us to be functioning exactly the way that God intends for us to function. Now, sometimes it's very easy for individuals to do, because if you have a local assembly in your area, you can go attend services at your local assembly. You can have that fellowship there. You can have people who are like-minded that you can actually fellowship with at other times outside of the assembly as well, and that you're able to, you know, check on these people, minister to them, they can minister unto you, all of those things that God intends, you know, that's where it's easy for that to occur. Now, for other individuals, it's not as easy, because they might be the only individual in their area that's actually holding to the truth of God's word rightly divided. And their whole ministry, their whole time of fellowship, their whole time of studying with other individuals comes not through face-to-face contact, but comes through things of contact with individuals through social media, through things of going on to websites and listening to messages or reading articles, listening to broadcasts such as this. This is where the whole idea of the ministry that they have and that fellowship that they have only comes from this. And it's a struggle to be able to say that, you know, that they want to have that fellowship, to be able to spend time with the fellow saints. And like how the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy are actually mentioning that this is what they have. And there is a need that all members of the body of Christ has to actually have fellowship with other believers. That's where the edification process is, you know, actually happens. And, you know, individuals might be listening and saying, well, you know, it's easy for you to say all this because you do have a local assembly in your area. Well, the easiest fix for it is to actually start a ministry then in your area as well. If there isn't one, start one. Start preaching the gospel to individuals. Start having, even if it's a small Bible study, to be able to have individuals be able to come together and study the Word of God. You know, the effort that goes into it, it's going to be well worth it related to the fellowship that should actually come from being around the fellow believers. And that's where you see that these individuals who wrote this epistle that we've been studying, they had this understanding and knew exactly that this is what was supposed to be accomplished through the Word of God rightly divided. And that's why they talked about the desire that they had to come unto them. And then Paul even has to break it down and say, even I, Paul. And he has to say it that way because there's instances that he records in his epistles that actually talk about other individuals going and ministering to individuals and then coming back to him to actually report of exactly what was going on with them. So that way Paul could have that understanding to make sure that they were actually doing the things that the information contained in his epistles actually says, for instance, that people are following the pattern that Paul has laid out for us. We could look, for example, if we go over to Philippians chapter number 2, we can see where Paul's going to record information related to these kind of trips that individuals were doing here. And we're going to read here in Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to start here in verse number 19 and read down through verse number 24. Verse 19 says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So as Paul's writing to this assembly in Philippi, he's talking about how he had this desire to send Timothy unto them, and identifies the fact that Timothy was an individual who was like-minded with him. So it was someone who shared that same thought process related to the doctrine that's been given. Timothy understood everything that Paul has been teaching, and Paul felt comfortable enough to send Timothy unto them, and that it would be, well, it's just as good as if it was me, because this is the same type of individual who has this same information, that has this same foundation, that's going to be able to take care of these individuals. Now, Paul still had a desire to go unto them, because he talks about that in verse number 24 when he says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." So he, even though he was sending Timothy according to the plan that he lays out here, he still wanted to be able to go himself to be able to have this fellowship with them. He still wanted to be able to hear what was going on with them, to be able to have conversations, to demonstrate their care. He sends Timothy first because, you know, he couldn't do it. It even identifies the fact that, you know, in verse 23, you're saying about him, therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. That Paul's saying, okay, there's some things going on with me, but I'm going to send Timothy shortly unto you, and then hopefully I'll be able to go unto you as well to be able to have this time of fellowship. He talks further on here in this same chapter about another individual that had been sent unto them. We're going to pick up here in verse number 25 and read down through verse 30, the end of the chapter here. Now, verse 25 says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." So Paul here talking about sending Epaphroditus, who he had already sent to them at one other point in the past, that he was going to say, you know, I have to send him again. You know, even though I'm planning to send Timothy, I'm going to send this individual as well. I'm going to be able to keep sending people to care on stuff. Even though Epaphroditus, who's identifying here as having this illness, he's still going to go and send him unto them to try to actually minister unto them. And that way, when he comes back, Paul would be able to hear exactly what was going on with them. You see Paul talk about these same things as he writes unto the assembly in Colossae and closes out that epistle as well. We can go over here to Colossians chapter number 4 to see what Paul's going to say here about this same idea of sending individuals unto them so that way he can find out what's going on and have these people be ministering unto them as well. Here in Colossians chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 7 and 8 here. It says, "All my estate shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So here you have Paul writing this epistle as he's sitting in prison and saying, you know, I'm going to send Tychicus unto these individuals so that way they can be able to hear exactly what's going on with me, and I'm going to be able to hear what's going on with them when he comes back. And as he's there ministering unto them, it identifies the fact that he says that to comfort your hearts. And so many times, that whole idea of just being around the other members of the body of Christ is a comfort unto individuals. And that's why Paul can identify it this way and talk about this thing of sending individuals to have this comfort. You know, so many times that individuals might think that, you know, things are not going right for them, and then they get around the saints, and just being around the fellow saints brings comfort, brings joy to individuals, and gets people out of, you know, all the depression and sorrow that they might be feeling about certain things that are going on. You see, Paul continue on in this, and we're going to read verse number 9 as long as we're here in Colossians chapter number 4 to see Paul bring up another individual with this as well. He says, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." So Paul's even identifying the fact that he's sending Onesimus as well to have this same comfort. Now, we know from reading the book of Philemon exactly who Onesimus was and how Onesimus had run away from Philemon, somehow makes it to the Apostle Paul. Paul preaches the gospel, ministers unto him. Onesimus becomes a believer, and Paul sends Onesimus back unto Philemon to minister unto him as a brother in the Lord. Philemon, who lived in Colossae. And so that's why you can see how Paul's saying, I'm sending Onesimus back unto you, back unto the body of Christ there, to have this fellowship and relationship that's supposed to happen, that Paul's identifying that he wanted to have and wanted to continue with all of the saints. Now let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We're going to look at one more example here of the Apostle Paul identifying these individuals that he's sending unto these assemblies in order to have this fellowship here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we're going to read here verses 10 and 11 here. And they say, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." Now, this is early on in the ministry of Timothy working with the Apostle Paul. And you see how there's this issue of Paul sending Timothy unto them. And talk about, you know, if Timothy comes, you know, he's going to be there to minister, you know, and identifying there might be some fear that's going on, that there might be some things of people despising him. Now, you see in First Timothy, where it's talking about, let no man despise your youth. But he's talking about how there might be this despising. He tells these saints in Corinth to how it is that they should be conducting themselves in their relationship with him. Now we read in the very next verse of this, in verse number 12, about Apollos as well here. Verse 12 says, as touch our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. And you see how Paul's identifying the fact that he wanted Apollos to go. He desired him to be able to go have this relationship with them, to have this fellowship. And you know, from the beginning part of this epistle, the relationship that some of these individuals had with Apollos, because Paul identifies that some of them were saying that they were of Apollos. And he's saying, I wanted to send him, but he couldn't come at this time. But hopefully there's going to be this future time that he's going to be able to come and minister unto you. And as Paul's talking about this, he's saying that he wanted to come unto them. He says, once and again, making a reference to the time that he was there. If we go over to Acts chapter number 17, we're going to see the time that Paul was there with them the first time that he's talking about here. We're going to start right at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 10 of Acts chapter number 17. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And you see how Luke recording here, talking about this thing of Paul and Silas being there, and how initially things were going okay. They're preaching unto these people, and then all of a sudden there's an uproar in the city, and people are getting upset and wanting to kill him for preaching this message, to the point of where Jason is, taken prisoner. There's, other things that start going on, and Paul and Silas are protected and then have to flee from there. And this is after a period of where identifying says that three Sabbath days he'd been preaching it. So for 3 weeks, he had been ministering unto them. He leaves. He writes these epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, unto them, talking about how they're an example unto other individuals because they had the faith that had been given to them after only 3 weeks of hearing this message, and yet they're still in this position of where Paul can hold them up as an example for other individuals wanting to come unto them to have further fellowship with them. And yet he's going to identify the fact that even though he had this desire to come unto them, that Satan hindered them from actually being able to go and minister and have that time of fellowship with them. And when we pick up next time, we're going to talk about how it is that Satan actually hindered them and prevented this from actually happening. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments, but anything in our broadcast, anything you hear in our messages, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.